Welcome everyone to a new Shoujo bonus episode where we forego our regular format and bring you commentary on whatever we decided to do this week or month or however often we do this. What did we do last time? The Rose of Versailles live action movie, Lady Oscar. Lady Oscar. Ah, yes. Yeah. The amazing movie Lady Oscar. We bring you another banger movie/TV show. We watched the Star Wars Holiday Special from 1978. Specifically, we watched Star Wars Holiday Special with commercials, good quality by Leah Hellman on YouTube.
I think this might have been my suggestion. Yeah. And I would like to now apologize to you and me to watch that.
Yeah, this is famous for being bad. If you've never heard of this, this is a TV special that was broadcast on CBS on November 17th, 1978, which means it came before Empire, because that comes out in 1980. So this is between the first and second movies.
It's something, all right. I came into we started watching it. I thought this was going to be maybe like a 40-minute thing. It was definitely longer than that, and the energy level within me dropped significantly. I asked Joe, "How long have we been watching?" And then he's like, "20 minutes." So I was like, "Only 20 minutes?
Yep.
This is already dragging forever."
It's a little brutal to watch. So this one, let me see if I can find some information. Lots of consulting the Wikipedia here for this episode, because they, like, people show up and they just kind of assume you know who these people are, and I have no idea who these people are.
Yeah,
let's see. This was directed by Steve Binder, who directed
Elvis things,
TV shows, some TV specials. Elvis Presley 68 comeback special. Cool. Famously, George Lucas did not participate in this very much, and also hates this and made it so that nobody can ever find it. So this is why this is not on Disney Plus or is accessible or people know about it. So you probably only know about it if you've heard that it sucks.
Yeah, that's how I'd heard about it, because I listened to like the 80s podcast or whatever, and I guess this is right before the 80s, but you know, like, oh, this is a definitely mentioned as like an atrocity known to mankind. And
yep, also, yeah, all of the kind of main actors have made fun of this at various points in their careers, it seems like. So people kind of knew this was bad at the time. So we watched this with commercials.
We can't see how much what we think they made off of it. Do you think we can find that?
I don't know. Probably I can't. Not. I mean, like, I don't really understand how the economic model for like TV specials even works.
I don't know. Kenner Toys probably.
So the whole thing was the bulk of this. Sponsored by GE, right? Or not GE. General Motors. GM. It was sponsored by General Motors, because they kept being these ads about like General Motors, people making transportation for other people, which was their like extremely long slogan.
Very good slogan. Catchy.
Very accurate, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so that's pretty good. So it opens on some ads. We get some ads for Kenner Toys, where it's just like a very long ad being like, "Look at all these toys we got, blah blah blah," and that's pretty good.
We get credits for the cast.
Well, actually, before that, we get a scene where Han and Chewie are trying to escape Star Destroyers, and Han's like, "We gotta get you back to your family," and everyone's like, "And we're like, his family, Chewie's family. What is this?" Because Chewie has to get back home so he can celebrate Life Day. And then
they're being chased by like Imperial garbage ships or something. Not even like,
yeah, it's not even like the really good ones. And then we get an opening like it's David Letterman being like, "Tonight on the Star Wars Holiday Special, here it's Harrison Ford as Han Solo," and like that. So it like introduces everybody, except very funnily it introduces R2-D2 as R2-D2.
Yes, uncredited person inside that little guy.
Yeah. Okay, so apparently this was a remote control that was operated by Mick Garris, who is Lucas's receptionist. And Mick Garris goes on to be like a horror director and a lot of stuff, like writer, and made a lot of Stephen King adaptations. So I actually recognized that name when I read that. I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like in the main credits, the Chewy family doesn't get actor names. And then also,
yes,
like they have the credit for the voice of Vader, but not the person like playing the physical body.
Right,
so
right.
Kind of a
and go ahead and tell us what Chewy's family, give us the rundown on Chewy's family.
Okay, so I know you guys didn't think Chewie had a family because there's never been any mention of it anywhere else in the existence of Star Wars, but don't think that means they don't matter to him. we've got Mala.
Yep. Mala, who is?
Mala, the wife.
Chewie's wife.
Yes, we get lots of like face paint, like just her gazing at the camera and like, I don't know. Ugh. She wears an apron, and then we get his dad, Itchy.
Yep.
She gets like a kind of normal name, and then Chewbacca is his full name, but he goes by Chewy. But then his dad's name is Itchy, and he looks like a Yeti, and he's got the biggest like underbite and like walks around, hobbles with a cane. And then we have his kid, his boy, Bumpy, which now that I think about it, that's the character. Or Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous has a little character named Bumpy. Love that.
No, his name's Lumpy with an L.
Lumpy, shit. Sorry. Never mind. Scratch that. Lumpy with an L for loser.
So apparently.
Kid.
Ugh. So apparently, later on, this has been made so those are all nicknames, with their full names being Mala Tobuk for Mala.
Okay.
Adichitcuk. Adichitcuk for Itchy.
Okay.
And for Lumpy, it's Lumpawarump.
Worse than just Lumpy,
is that better?
Maybe.
Lumpawarump?
Like a Dr. Seuss character or something.
Very much. Very much so.
Yeah, so they all just... amount of just...
Yes, it's they're the stars of this, so they show up a lot, and they're constantly grunting, right? Because it's like Chewy, you know, they talk like a Wookiee does. So there's a lot of that, especially at the very beginning when it's just them on screen. Talking to each other and like growling,
it feels never ending.
But just like the opening of this being like, here is all of Chewie's family, just with no fanfare, just being like, yep, and here's Mala, and here's Itchy, and here's Lumpy. Anyway, let's start, and then they start.
Here's a painted still of their home.
Yeah, we zoom in on Kashyyyk, which they call something else later on.
Kazook.
Yeah. Call it Kazook. At least the Imperials call it Kazook, so they just may not know. I'd buy that. It's like a painting of their house, just like their big treehouse house. So this is like really early into Star Wars that Kashyyyk was like a forest planet in the trees.
Yeah, I guess we. Oh well, yeah, because I was like, is this the first time we're seeing it? And I guess it would be.
Yeah. This is only a couple years after Star Wars came out, right? Because it came out in 87,
yeah.
Right? Is that true?
I mean, we don't see that until...
Or 97, sorry, 97. Or 77. Because this is 78.
Third film.
So it came out a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
So only that the only thing that is like canon is what is in the original movie.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, but Lucas is saying he's not that involved in this, but like, he must have been like, hey, this is where they live and... stuff.
Yeah.
His vision for what it was going to be.
True.
But basically, it just looks like your typical 70s living room.
Yeah, it's very sitcom style.
Inside. Yes.
Yeah. But I kind of like their house. It's kind of fun. So we get a family scene with Chewie's family, all grunts all the time because it's just them.
It's too much.
Itchy is like whittling an X-wing as Lumpy is like running around being a kid. He gets scolded because he tries to eat cookies before dinner. He gets told to take out the trash. You know, he's just a kid like you and me, viewer.
Uh-huh.
And they're all waiting for Chewie to show up so they can celebrate Life Day. This part is super long.
It's far too long. agonizingly long.
It's very long. And like they need to distract Lumpy. So the way they distract Lumpy is they pull out like a cassette tape and they put it into the holo deck table thing, you know, where they play holo chess or whatever.
Yep.
But instead of playing a game, instead what it plays is like a little hologram of like a dancing guy that then transforms into like a weird acrobatic dance segment where like people are coming out and they're doing like cartwheels and stuff and little like aerobics things. Someone does like a split bar routine at some point. They start juggling. Lumpy loves this, by the way. He loves this little circus act that he's seeing. They're playing music that I describe as bloopy ass music is what I described as what this was. Sarah, how did you feel about this first little hologram performance?
That's when it really started thinking in what this was going to be for the rest of the time that we were watching it, which is a lot of random musical bits that are not that interesting. And I can just imagine I just kept thinking like, okay, how did they sell this in advance of it coming out? And like, what kind of expectations do people have? And then this is what they are seeing.
Yes.
Like, at what point do people start turning this off?
Right. Because this is like it's like a variety show. It has like segments to it. Like each one's its own little thing. Mm-hmm. Half of them are like musical. Half of them are like skits, I guess. And none of it seems particularly geared towards children. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I guess like having little performers do little dances and stuff, it's like a kid thing, I guess. Were the children in the 70s clamoring?
Maybe if this came out, I was going to say, I don't know if in the 70s, maybe if this came out like a decade or two beforehand and kids had less things to occupy themselves with. I feel like at this point, like, there's better things to do.
Okay, so on the side, so a thing I'm doing in my life with my friends is I'm watching all of the Disney movies in release order. Let me see if we've gotten to 1978. So 1978, the movie that came out was Pete's Dragon, which very much is people just dancing and running around.
Yeah.
So maybe that is
that
just
one's
what
kind of slow.
Just what it was like.
I guess so.
That and The Rescuers, and both of those are very.
Well, they had okay. I like The Rescuers. Uh-huh. That's good.
We like The Rescuers too.
That's held up under. I mean, I guess. Well, they had just seen Star Wars, so they know how good entertainment could be. They've seen Star Wars and then they see this. What if they're like, family, I love this movie. Let's watch this thing. And then they're embarrassed to that they like Star Wars and the family is only seen. I don't know. Oh,
yeah. So this is our first segment.
So bad.
What would you rate this segment out of 10?
What, the performers?
Yeah, the hologram
or just
performers.
The whole opening.
No, I want to rate the segments. I want to have a segment power
out
ranking for the Star Wars Christmas special. Holiday special. Sorry. It's non-denominational.
Like
out of 10.
I don't know how high my rankings are going to get. Yeah. Let's go with like a 5. I'll do 5.
Okay. I was going to do a 4 for this. Okay. Because it's fine, but I don't love it. And well, it's mostly pretty bad. It's a little too long. It's just kind of weird.
We love anything that's to come. I don't know.
Yep. Chewie still isn't there. We get an on-screen thing where it shows like what member station's broadcasting this, and this is apparently coming out of Dayton, Ohio. So Ohio mention, woo. The family gets bored, so they decide to zoom Luke and R2 for some reason.
And Luke Skywalker has so much eye makeup on, like it's. I found it incredibly distracting.
He does. He's like in his garage fixing an engine or something. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh,
he's
hey, guys.
In his little like pilot suit.
Yep. He's like, you guys having a nice life day? Oh, Chewie's not there? Uh-oh. And then he like reassures them and all this other stuff. For some reason, just like seeing Mark Hamill as Luke reminds me that I really like Luke. I think he's fun.
He's just like a kind of golden retriever.
Yeah, he's just like a nice boy, you know? He's like, what if your hero is just like a nice boy that wants to help people out and is just like getting Zoom calls from his friends? Isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I like this segment, even though nothing really happens. It's just Mark Hamill talking to you. It's just Luke talking to you. And then he does at one point say, come on, Mala, let's see a little smile. And we
oh, God. I don't need to see her face as much as we see it.
Oh, I'm going to share with you my notes so you can see where I'm going.
God. Okay, let's see.
And then R2 like does some shenanigans to be funny, like fires his fire extinguisher at the engine or something. I don't know. But yeah, so we get a little Luke cameo. That's cool. All right, cool. They get a call from Wookiee Planet C, or they call Wookiee Planet C.
Which it must be the same planet they're on, right?
I don't know. It has to be because he shows up later. So basically,
I didn't realize how many planets. I guess I don't know how many Wookiee planets there are.
I don't know.
This seems like the planet. So you think it'd be Planet A?
Yeah, you think it would be Planet A. I don't know why it was like that. Anyway, we get a scene where an Imperial guard is like inspecting this traitor's stuff. This guy, his name is Son Dan, and he is gonna be a main character. So remember him. And he's played by, who's he played by?
Some dude
for real. He is played by.
Did not
by...
have enough natural charisma for me to. Yeah, he had to have been cast for some other reason.
Son Dan is played by Art Carney, who is some kind of famous actor and comedian at the time. He's in the sitcom Honeymooners, and he's in The Last Action Hero, which I think my mom likes, but that happened later on. Anyway.
Apologies to anyone who's like, these kids these days.
Yeah, apologies to Art Carney stans.
Yeah.
But he's here and he's gonna play this guy, and he shows this guy some funny little gadgets he sells. And by funny, I mean these are not good comedy bits. What would you rate this bit? Giving it a one.
Yeah. A one sounds good. Like, I mean, like the outfits look a little, I was like, this is getting like Lord Helmet from Spaceballs.
It really does.
The Imperial dude.
It really is. They did a good job on Spaceballs. This is just reminding me that I was like, oh yeah, it was like this, huh?
Here's like a good version. Basically, like, here's the bad version from supposedly the people who worked on the good original thing. And then there's the good, bad version. Spaceballs. The pocket-sized aquarium is one of the little gadget he's got that he's like, those Wookiee suckers love this thing.
They love this trash.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, we learned that he's helping smuggle Chewie in, and he gives them a coded message that Chewie's gonna make it through their blockade and get to their home on life day or whatever. Then we get a cut to Darth Vader, who gets a report that they're chasing after the Millennium Falcon, and Darth Vader's like, I want to catch them. And then that's it. We never see him again for the end of the special. Thanks for coming, James Earl Jones and guy who plays Darth Vader.
I was hoping he was gonna like just show up at like, for some reason, the big bad was gonna show up at their front door.
Yeah.
Seems like the appropriate.
We go back to Chewie's family. They Zoom call on someone else, but it's like a
Leia.
No, this is where Mala is gonna make food now, so she's gonna turn on the home cooking network, which is Harvey Korman dressed as a woman in like this gold complexion. I thought maybe for a moment he was doing blackface, but apparently he's just doing a parody of Julia Child, which makes sense.
This is going on forever and ever.
It's a long bit. The joke is that he's an alien that has four arms, so arms just keep appearing as he's doing this cooking, and he's just like constantly telling Mala to stir the pot over and over again. It's very long and not
she's
funny.
Basically cooking a trash can. Yeah.
Yes. It's
and they're eating Bantha.
And they're eating Bantha. Yeah, they're cooking Bantha surprise. What would you rate this bit?
Well, now I feel like I rated the first one too high, but three.
Yeah, this is about three. This is three territory because it's still like goofy, right? I think it's funny to have more hands show up over time, but that's about the only funny thing about it. In space, Chewie and Han are under attack from TIE fighters and it's going bad. We get an announcement that they're blockading Kazook, the planet they're on, I guess. And then the traitor shows up with something called a mind evaporator because he brings like a charge core for the mind evaporator.
I'll tell you what the mind evaporator is.
Yeah, he brings gifts for the family, and we're gonna get scenes with all of the gifts. And the first one is with Itchy's gift, which is the dream sequence, like the mind evaporator thing that he fixes. And this puts Itchy into a dream sequence where, like, there's a bunch of dancing ladies, and then it kind of, like, fades out to Diana Carroll, who's, like, a famous singer slash actor who is going to serenade Itchy for, like, the next 4 minutes.
It was so long.
It was very long.
The song was not terrible. You made a good point that it could pass for, like, a James Bond opening
song. It is very, like, knockoff James Bond opening song. It's called, what's it called? What's the actual song called? The song is called This Minute Now. This is very suggestive, this sequence. I mean, she really is just like, come have sex with me in the Mind Palace.
Horny. Yeah.
And this is my note of asking if this is for children. I get the feeling if this sequence is not for children.
No. I don't know who it's for, though. It's just like, here's your creepy grandpa.
Yes.
Getting off with the freaking
the sexy. On, the yeah.
Yeah. Out in the just in the living room with everyone there,
just doing it right there. Yep, that's pretty good. The whole sequence is funny too because it's a lot of like full size her singing with her head zoomed in, like in the background, like in like one of those parody images you would see, but like legit. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. I'm gonna rate this sequence a 5 because I think that's funny.
I'll do, I guess, a 5 as well.
Cool. Yep. So that sequence ends and is weird. And then I think Mala Zoom calls Princess Leia and C-3PO, and like we get a long sequence where like they're talking to Leia, and C-3PO has to translate. But for some reason, when they talk to Luke, Luke could just understand everything they were saying.
Yep.
So I guess Leia just doesn't know how to speak.
I thought about that too. I feel like she would more than freaking Luke would. He's just like country bumpkin on Tatooine, and she's like a diplomat daughter or whatever. So I think she would know more than Luke.
You would think that. You would think that. But
so,
apparently not.
What the heck?
What is your fun fact about Carrie Fisher in this?
So I was like looking up stuff as we were watching this because I gotta say, I wasn't like 100% engaged at all times. And so when I was looking things up, one of the suggested searches was Carrie Fisher high during the holiday special? And then it's like, yes, Carrie Fisher herself confirmed that she was high on coke during the filming of this. So
very funny. She's not, it's not that noticeable, really. Like,
she just looks tired.
Yeah, it was just weird.
As tired as I feel watching this.
Yeah. I mean, she kind of delivers all her lines in the way that she kind of does in the first movie anyway, where it's like a little bit like emphatic on everything. So but that's very funny to learn that.
Yes. You know, I was thinking maybe we don't actually get confirmation that's Kashyyyk at all. We're just making that.
Well, that's like retroactively.
It looks like it, yeah, right? Yeah.
That's what Kashyyyk looks like. I mean, it's the tree houses, it's kind of the circular ones.
Yeah. Like, but I guess maybe as far as we know, they could all look like that, the Wookiee planets.
I guess so. I don't really know if there's like in canon.
So maybe Kazook is a real place.
I don't know if there are more than one.
Yeah, that's a good. You may think we know a lot about Star Wars because we opted to do a Star Wars bonus episode on our anime podcast.
Yeah.
But we're just continuing the streak of only watching trash on our bonus episode.
Yeah, I don't know why we watched this in retrospect. It's very weird. We're not planning on watching all the Star Wars things as bonus episodes.
Nope.
But this was pretty funny. Thing. It's in theme. Uh-huh. It's Christmas, you know. Or it's the holidays. It's not Christmas. Uh-huh. This is Life Day. We're celebrating Life Day.
It's just for the Wookiees.
Just for the Wookiees and not for droids, which we learn later on, which is extremely funny.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Son Dan shows up, or no, he's been there. They get famous Wookiee cookies, which is a very funny set phrase. Let's see. We got to cut back on the Falcon. They escape TIE fighters, but need a plan. But plan to land on the north side of the planet so they can't get home right away because there's so much Imperial presence on Kashyyyk. Then stormtroopers show up at the family's front door because they're looking for Chewie, and they search the house. And Son Dan tries to activate the machine he gets from Mala to distract them. And it's a hologram of Jefferson Starship. And they play a song for some Imperial officer who sits there and watches it. This song is like 5 minutes. How'd you feel about this part?
It was very long. This is the moment I stepped away, so all I did was hear it. So I don't have the visual to go along with it, but I'll give it a 3.
This is just a music video of Light the Sky on Fire performed by Jefferson Starship, and that's fine. It was a fine song. I'm going to give this a 6. It's just a music video where they're like in like hologram little tape deck, and there's a big Imperial guy tapping alongside it.
At least he liked it.
Yep. He was having a good time. Crickets here.
I mean, it was so long. It was a, I guess, good distraction in the duration of it. Gave them time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, Cricket is here.
How did you enjoy the special, Cricket?
The dog. She slept through the whole thing. Wow. Unimpressed.
It gets a 0 on the dog in an engagement scale.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sandan is forced to leave while the rest of the Imperials search the upstairs of the house. Lumpy's present is a cartoon episode. No, Lumpy's present is something else, but he's trying to hide it. So instead, he puts on a cartoon episode of one of his father's adventures. And then we get a cutaway to like an animated sequence, like an episode of a TV show. That's just Star Wars. It's just like adventures in Star Wars. Here's Luke and Leia and Han, but everyone's drawn in like a very interesting. I need to figure out what studio did this, because it's very like Beavis and Butthead kind of animation-y kind of thing. Actually, it's very okay, here, let's see. This was written by George Lucas and produced by Toronto animation firm Nelvana, which later produced Droids and Ewoks, which I guess are two other Star Wars TV cartoon TV shows that came on. What is this? Star Wars Droids, The Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO is a 1985 animated TV series spinoff of the original Star Wars. And it uses the same models that they used in the special. Okay.
I thought the droids looked fun in this.
Yeah.
R2-D2 is very, like, not metal. Like, his body's just kind of bumping along as he moves, all squishy looking.
Yeah. Oh, this is a whole TV show. Star Wars Droids. Let's see what else these guys, the studio made. Because, like, it's a very particular animation style, I feel like.
Yeah.
Around the same time, they made Care Bears. They made a bunch of Care Bear movies.
Oh, like the movies?
Yeah, the Care Bear movies, theaters? Care Bear Movie 2, A New Generation, the Care Bears Adventure in Wonderland. I know the first Care Bear movie
made like a killing. First Care Bear made a lot of money.
Let's see, the Care Bear movie. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Budget $2 million, box office $34 million. That's a good return. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Care Bears movie.
Yep.
They made Pippi Longstocking. Okay. 1977. Yeah, they made the Redwall movie.
Well, apparently, ooh, this animation is like the what
they were one of the studios that made Cardcaptors the movie, Cardcaptor Sakura the movie.
Oh, okay, the first one. Okay, interesting.
Let's see, what part did they do?
Interesting.
Yeah, it said that they were involved something somehow.
Maybe we'll cover at some point. Yeah,
I can't on the page. It how looks bizarre. Like
they're just a Canadian company, but then that's like a Japanese anime movie.
Scene. Yeah, it's weird because like on the Wikipedia page, it says they contributed. But then I'm looking at the movie Wikipedia and it doesn't mention that.
Ah.
But they're in the credits somewhere. I don't know. They must have had like distribution rights or something like that. They must have done something. Yeah, maybe like touch ups. I don't know. Mm. Anyway. Yeah. So they made some stuff. Oh, they made Roly Poly Oly.
But oh, I like that show.
Or they made some specials for it. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, this animated bit was like the only highlight.
Yes.
To come out of this.
This is very interesting.
Christmas special.
So the story of this animated bit is weird. It's like we start in the middle of an episode, basically, where Chewie and Han are on the search for a talisman, but they're like acting weird and like Chewie has to crash land it on a moon planet. That's like a water moon planet.
Like a jelly planet. Yeah,
the water's like red and it's very weird. Luke and C-3PO and R2 go to chase after him or them in a Y-wing. They crash on this thing and they get accosted by a big dinosaur. But then they are saved by one debut character. Boba Fett is here riding a dinosaur. First Boba Fett appearance in anything.
Oh, really? This is the first?
Yeah, because he doesn't show up until Empire, right?
Okay, interesting.
Yep, so this is our debut.
Because he talks in this.
Of Boba Fett.
Yeah, he talks in this, whereas he doesn't really in the movies. Yeah.
Yep. So Boba Fett shows up, saves Luke and the droids from being eaten by a sea serpent dinosaur guy.
And he's mean to the one that he's riding.
He's mean to his dinosaur.
Which is very cute.
Which is a foreshadowing that he is evil.
Yeah, we should have seen it coming.
Yep, they catch up to the Falcon. They find that the talisman makes human beings fall asleep. It puts them in like a sleep spell. So Luke immediately falls asleep as Han has also fallen asleep. Boba is protected because he's wearing a suit. So him and Chewie have to go into the city and find a cure because Boba knows of a cure that they have in the city. They sneak into town. Boba goes off on his own to buy the serum. And we learn that he, dun dun dun, is actually a bad guy working for Darth Vader because he's their top bounty hunter. This thing we all know about Boba Fett nowadays.
Yeah.
He takes the serum. They bring it back to the Falcon after Chewie shoots a bunch of clone troopers and blows them all up, or not clone troopers, stormtroopers, and blows them all up. And then they wake up Luke and Han, and they're like, oh, that's so great, Boba's our new friend, we're gonna bring him back to base. But it turns out that during this, C-3PO and R2 have intercepted the transmission between him and Darth Vader, and they rat him out, and then he makes an escape, and they're like, ah, Boba Fett, we can't trust him. And that's the end of the episode.
I will say that Harrison Ford should take offense. His character,
okay, the styling is very crazy. Weird. It's almost like Aeon Flux. Like that's how they look in terms of like the people's faces.
They're very long and
yeah. In the when they were in the city, I told Sarah that this is reminding me a lot of Incal, the like Moebius comic book. And now that I'm looking at the Wikipedia, it turns out that is Lucas requested the visual style to look like that. So
okay,
nice.
Yeah, this is the only thing he was kind of super involved in.
Yeah this is the thing, because it's like special. Very bright colors, like everything's like these big fluorescent colors and like things. It's like a city with multiple levels to it and all this other stuff. So if you look at like Incal, like the first couple pages, it'll look very similar to this.
Not something I'm familiar with, but look at you calling
it. Yeah.
Joe knows this stuff.
Yeah.
All right. And then the only kind of good part ends, and we're back to the
crap. Yeah, what would you rate the cartoon?
I'll give it a 7.
Yep, I'm also giving it a 7. It was
I
weird.
I liked the dinosaur. It had the cutest big ol' like puppy dog eye things. It was cute.
Yep, pretty good. Pretty good cartoon sequence here. But then we get back to it, and I remember that this is not a cartoon and this is live action. Mm-mm. And I suddenly get a lot less happy about it. Let's see. Do-do-do-do-do. The Imperials continue to search the house but don't find anything. Lumpy builds his gift, which is a mini transmitter, and we get like a sequence where Harvey Korman, as a weird malfunctioning robot man, walks us through the assembly of this mini transmitter, and it is not funny.
It felt very, well, it just felt like the cooking thing again, where it's like we have a character watching, you know, like boring thing, and then we're watching the boring thing, watching a boring thing, and oh my god, it's weird. It's weird. It's bad. Terrible.
It's pretty bad. I would rate this a 2.
Yeah, I'll go with that too as well. It does have like plot significance that he is making this at least.
Yeah, he does a couple of like I'm a robot bits, which are okay, but not enough. Not enough. Not enough going on here. Mm-mm. I'm sorry, Harvey Korman. See, the Imperials put on a broadcast of Mos Eisley as an example of what degeneracy looks like. They like, for no reason, they're like, we have required watching for PSA. Everybody. Watch this unedited broadcast of the Mos Eisley Cantina to show you what it's like to not live in Imperial control and how much it sucks. And we just get a shot of everybody chilling in the cantina and as jizz music plays. Yeah, remember this place? Great.
Okay. Is that what it's called?
Jizz? The music genre?
Yeah,
yes.
Is that? Is that okay?
They renamed it, I think, later because Disney are a bunch of cowards.
What was it originally named?
No, no, no.
The better option.
They renamed it from Jizz to something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's what it's called.
Okay. Because I was like, aren't they Bith? Isn't that the band? Is like Bith is the species?
Yeah, I think that's the species.
Yeah. I was like, maybe just call it Bith music.
No. No, because anybody can play it. It's not just them, you know?
Disney's cowards. I don't know. I feel like decent call.
I think it's a terrible mistake and they gotta fix it immediately. Anyway, we get this okay. like kind of long scene where like the barkeep who's played by B. Arthur, who's Dorothy and the Golden Girls and in Maude and some other stuff, is like hit on by Harvey Korman again, who's playing a weird alien man named Krellman. She just kind of aggressively gets hit on by this weirdo for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's kind of a lot. He's very weird. He like drinks from his head, mm-hmm. so she like pours stuff into his skull, which is kind of funny.
Well, he's got like volcano looking hair, and so yeah, it's just
yeah. Blah. Then there's an announcement at the cantina that Tatooine is getting a new curfew, and so the bar needs to close. So the barkeep tries to throw everybody out, but no one's leaving because they don't respect authority. So in order to get them to leave, she has to sing a song, which she does.
I think this is my favorite song.
It's a pretty good song.
I was bopping my head yeah. along. The word friend is used.
It's not a well-written song.
Amount. No.
It's called Good Night, But Not Goodbye. Set to the Cantina Band theme, which is a good song, which is why this song is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little ruffians. Yep. Get out the bar.
So apparently the band is called Figrin Dan and the Model Noodles. Or the Model okay. Nodes. Sorry, the Model Nodes. That's the okay. band name. So that's fun.
In this particular.
No, in like the original. Like it's the same group as the in the first movie.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this was pretty good. I'll give this like a 5
mm-hmm.
for the song. The beginning part was brutal, but whatever.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5 too. Yeah, well, he's like, the way he hit on her was icky because it was like, you said this and this is how I took yeah. it. I mean, how you meant it, but I'm going to take it this way. Yep. So now be with me because of how I'm perceiving what you're saying, even if it wasn't your intention.
Yeah, very interesting. Anyway, that scene ends. Yeah. The Empire forces are called back, so they leave, but they leave one stormtrooper behind to wait for the other, because they know that Chewie is missing. They know that there's one more person in this place, so he's like, wait for that guy to show up and confirm he's real. The stormtrooper goes upstairs to find Lumpy on his transmitter, and he starts chasing Lumpy around, but suddenly Han and Chewie show up and push him off a ledge to where he, I assume, falls to his death.
100%. Oh, you know what? We didn't mention, but at some point, the like painted still of the exterior of the house, they then overlay Lumpy.
Oh, yes. Dance.
Like, it was so good because it's like shit, you know, terrible, you know, post production, whatever, of overlaying a real image over the.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, something. In Star Wars, they do this, right? Like, this is how they do the big scenes, is they like have a big painting of the thing and they put it up really close to the lens and they cut out the part where the actors are in it. But it did not work when they did it here, let me tell you.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Let's see. Yep, so they save Lumpy. Han greets the family and is like, I gotta go back to the Falcon, but you guys are like a family to me. And they all have a moment. And he looks at Lumpy and he's like, ah, yes, my boy Lumpy. Han Solo saying these Wookiees are like a family to him is so funny to me. I laughed for like a minute.
Yeah, it's I think out of the Luke, Leia and Han, Luke, I think, seemed the most like eager to be participating in this thing versus the other uh-huh. two. Of which maybe if this is like the main thing he was getting any kind of jobs out of and they had better prospects.
Well, it's also but, like Luke just has to do a scene where it's just him and R2 in a little factory or space. Yeah. Whereas Han's
yeah.
Harrison Ford has got to show up and hug some Wookiees.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. But and again, with the like just staring at Mala's face. Oh, God, it's too much.
Mala's huge face.
Yeah, he just seems very like. eager to get out of there.
Oh, dude, me too. The most like uncle energy of like, I gotta get out of this place. I gotta make an appearance so I can leave and tell everybody how important they are to me, but not important enough for me to stick around.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, he leaves, so it's an all-Wookiee party, baby. Chewie is here, reunited with the family, and him and Mala spend a long time looking at each other, deciding if they're going to kiss, and they don't, and they decide to hug instead, because I don't know how you kiss in those masks.
Well, do we think that the Chewie outfit is the one that they use for the movies, or is that one slightly different, too? Because, like, the facial structure of Chewie is a lot flatter versus the other Wookiees have more like protruding faces, so it's like it's very clearly like different costumes. It's
apparently
his is more the humanoid.
Mala suit is like an earlier version of Chewie's suit, I think.
They just look age. It's like I'm left just hanging long enough that's like, okay, I'm trying to brace myself for when they try to make these.
Oh, dude, I was so badly wanting them to kiss. Like, how would that even work? I wanted it so bad, and then they just hug. Weak. Robbed. Anyway. Then there's a knock at the door, and they are like, uh-oh, is this the Imperials? But it's not. It's Traitor Sondan. He's back. Then there's a PSA. Where they're trying to reach the one stormtrooper they left stationed at the house, but he's dead now, so they can't like contact him. So Sondan reports that guy robbed him and went AWOL, and like the officer on the other side is just like immediately willing to accept that explanation. He's like, oh, that happens.
Yeah, wrap all it right. up.
Well,
this incredibly long special can't go on any longer. We must resolve this now. Yep.
So that happens. Then the Wookiees get to have their... Well, then Sondan leaves. He's like, all right, well, my job's done. Bye. Then the Wookiee family decides that they're going to start celebrating Life Day. So they grab little globes and hold them all together as they light up. And, like, the screen kind of fades out. And then it fades back in. And they're all wearing red robes. And they start walking into this big light in space with a bunch of other Wookiees. Inexplicable.
Inexplicably.
Yes. what in the world is happening? And then they all show up at the base of a big tree with all the other Wookiees. Like, this is a thing they actually literally did, which I guess it is. I don't know.
I think they should have had the stormtrooper, like, crumpled on the ground in the corner or something.
Oh, my God. That would be so funny.
They should have done that.
Oh. Yeah, they're at the base of this tree. They're greeted by C-3PO and R2, who are also here for some reason. And C-3PO is like, oh, what an excellent Life Day. I sure wish we droids could participate in Life Day, but seeming as we aren't alive, we can't do that, which I thought was really funny. Like, just a call out that first off, droids are basically people in Star Wars. I think they are alive.
Yeah.
So it's very funny for them to be like, we're not alive, so we don't get to participate, but we're also here.
Somebody's got to sell them toys.
That's right. But then who does show up? It's Luke, Leia, and Han. They're also here, too. And they wish everybody a happy Life Day. And then Carrie Fisher starts singing a song about Life Day.
God, about
to the tune of the Star Wars opening theme song.
Just let John Williams do his thing. There's no need to.
How did we feel about this song?
I wonder if she's like, you know, I can sing too. If you guys need another song.
Yeah.
She's like clutched onto Chewie. I'm like, she's gonna fall down if he let go.
She really is.
No, I mean, she's not a terrible singer, but it's like the music's playing like. So I'm like, maybe they didn't think she's that good of a singer because they put the volume a lot higher on the like music part to kind of drown out her singing.
Yes, they did do that. It was very weird. I was dying at this part because like we've watched at this point, we're at like an hour and a half. And then all of a sudden, Carrie Fisher just starts singing. And I'm like, what in the world is happening?
It's crazy. Yeah,
she sings a song about Life Day.
Yeah, it's like the song doesn't really like the lyrics don't go with the song. Of Star Wars at all, so it's like just two separate things that they merged together.
They couldn't come up with another like backing tune. They had to pick the Star Wars theme, something that clearly was not made for a song about Life Day.
Nope. Yep.
Oh my God. Yep. And then that happens, and we get a very long montage scene of A New Hope that's like interspersed with close-ups on Chewie's like face, just looking forward. Yeah. It's extremely bizarre. And then it also ends on Chewie's face. And then we just get like a zoom out. And I thought maybe that was the end of the special. Like, we just end on Chewie's like zoning out.
Yeah.
As like a montage of scenes from the first movie happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not. That's not the end. We get one final cut back to Chewie's family about to have dinner together as we zoom out and play the credits. And that's the Star Wars holiday special.
We did it. We watched it.
We sure did.
So if you guys we've got commercial.
Yeah, thoughts. So we watched the commercial version. We can do our commercial thoughts here. Do you have any special thoughts about the holiday special itself, or do you want to talk about the commercials?
I'm just going to say, guys, if you listen to our coverage here, that's about it. You don't need to go watch it yourselves, I would say.
Uh-huh.
You're saving yourself some valuable time. But what I am interested to watch, and maybe I'll watch it in our next normal episode, I'll mention it, but there's a documentary called A Disturbance in the Force that is about the creation of this holiday special that I am interested to watch and see what kind of insight we can get into what happened here. Uh-huh. So that's something I would suggest maybe you guys check out after listening to our coverage of this. But yeah, and now we can get into our thoughts on the incredible advertisements we had the pleasure of viewing.
So there were commercials during this, and commercials used to be a lot different. The biggest thing about the commercials is that a lot of them don't have any like background music. So it's like quiet and then just a narrator talking. Very weird.
Yes, very slow. And God, the 70s hair is very distinct. Their men's hair in the 70s is so distinct. Like, everyone's just got the like silky smooth little bobs.
Yeah,
a lot of them were things I had never heard of, so I was like, I don't think this was a successful
a lot of brands that I'd never heard of. Some of them were very funny. There's one for a car that follows a crayon line called the Trail Tracker, where like you draw, I guess, just cool on your desk. I don't know where you draw this line.
It like was a paper, like it comes with a pad that you draw on, so I don't know if it's like some kind of like, was there like something magnetic in the like crayon that it then whatever. I was like, oh, this is actually a pretty cool toy.
Follows the line you draw. I'm sure it works really well. The Trail Tracker. Do you have any other ones that stood out to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think you've got them listed here pretty good. I enjoyed the Tabor.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. So there was like something about, what is it? Like a robot you command with a little remote control that can like do figure eights and pick stuff up. And it's like, you have command over it. And at the very end, it's like, Trebor is robot spelled backwards. And I'm like, what is happening in this commercial?
Yeah, I mean, the toy itself, not that interesting looking, or the advertisement for it. Cause it's like, it can go forwards and backwards and then forwards again.
Like, holy shit, forwards and backwards.
Yeah, so it was
very funny.
I did think of the having to specifically say it's spelled robot backwards.
There were several ads that talked about like work and like being in a union and like buying union stuff.
Yes.
Which this is pre-NAFTA, I guess. So it's very interesting to see that stuff like on TV. Like, nothing like that would ever happen now, it feels like. So that was weird. There's an ad that was for yellow cake mix, which is like, imagine having an entire advertisement for one like food product nowadays.
Yeah, it's mostly like all of the things that a singular brand has,
yeah, rather than, because this like, is like, I think this
brand makes this cake, and
this was like Pillsbury.
It's better than that cake. Yeah, and
yellow cake with pudding in it.
Yes.
Maybe that was new. Maybe that was the first time anybody's ever put pudding into a cake.
Well, a lot of the ads, and I guess we see it still sometimes, but a lot of them were like, that and that, that's trash. Try this instead.
It was very like, oh, you know these guys' products. Their product sucks.
Yeah. And then, yeah, a lot. I mean, obviously a lot of General Motors advertisements that were like, you know, and we kind of see snippets of like, oh, it's an interview with an actual worker telling their story a little bit, but they were very long. Like, extensive, it was like a little interview thing. Yeah.
There was a couple times when they were like news broadcasts, and it's like somebody went to jail for like leaking secrets to the Russians. And I'm like, what is happening? Yeah. And like something about a neutron bomb or something. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the Cold War. Oh, I forgot this was the Cold War.
Mm-hmm. Lots of like wood paneling walls and wallpaper. Oh, yeah. More interesting time. I mean, this is also, I guess, the this is from Ohio. So I wonder that, I'm assuming the ads might have varied a bit depending on the region that you were watching this in. So a lot of people in like little sweaters and stuff, I guess, because it's cold there.
But yeah. Anyway, do you have any closing thoughts about the Star Wars holiday special?
We gotta make a promise to ourselves that the next bonus episode is something good. Unless this is like us doing a service by watching the bad TV.
We could watch something good.
Of random things that have no relation.
I have some TV shows we could watch. Anime. I'm thinking maybe I'll make us watch some stuff. That'd be kind of fun.
How about you, Joe?
My biggest takeaway. So, okay. You had never seen like a holiday special before, really, had you?
I'm trying to think of like what holiday special is it like a holiday special because it's like a show that does a thing that's not canon to the rest of the show? Or because when I look up holiday special, I was seeing like things like the Claymation Rudolph. And so I've like seen those, but those are like one-off things and not. So the only thing I could see that was seem similar that I have seen is like Charlie Brown and, you know, Christmas special or like the, you know, the Great Pumpkin, stuff like that, where it's like in the world, but for me, I didn't watch any other Charlie Brown other than the special, so I don't have like a good, like, you know, other than like a normal show that just has Christmas episodes, but normally they're still like pretty canon to the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about that because like I feel like I have seen things like this, but I don't know what the best example would be of like
I would just this think type of probably thing. Like no need to do an extra, like don't, like this is a bit of a stretch and it super doesn't work. I can see trying to like, you know, Star Wars just came out and it's like the hottest thing ever, so they're trying to build off the momentum and, you know, cash in as much as they can. So I can see why they did it. They just did a terrible job on this.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. On the page, there was something called Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. I think I was supposed to watch that with some of my friends, but I'd never seen the like third Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which introduces all this stuff. So I had no idea what was happening for half of it.
Oh, okay.
But that's like a holiday special.
Yeah. Well, and on, I guess, no, I don't think this is the kind of content I would typically be drawn to because I'm so particular about only consuming things that are canon.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of like I clearly don't watch OVAs very well, so I just don't want extra stuff very much.
You don't like the extra stuff? Well, some of it's good though. Like I read those Star Wars sequel novels earlier this year.
Is this the High Republic?
No. This is like this is the Admiral Thrawn trilogy stuff. Oh. This is like after Return of the Jedi, like with the main cast.
Like I have read like Mass Effect books and Dragon Age books and that, like I can do that stuff if it's in advance of something new coming out, like oh I can't wait for the next Dragon Age game, let me read about this stuff because one of these characters may be in the game and maybe it's fine if you don't see it, but like it'll be better if you are familiar,
so it has to like,
but like retroactively going and watching it, I'm not gonna be compelled to.
Okay, so it has to like tie back in,
like if
for you?
Well, I think it just has to be building off my excitement for what's coming next.
Oh, okay.
To get me to interact with it. So, like, if it's like, oh, everything's come out already, so I don't feel like I need to watch that because it's not. It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is old now, so it's like I can pick what I want to watch versus like, oh, at this point, Star Wars has just come out and I am obsessed and I'll take anything I can get to do with it to build on my excitement and anticipation of the next movie coming out.
Yeah.
So it's like effective in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just not like after the fact. Gotcha. For me, at least.
Okay.
Typically. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was, don't watch this. Use your time to do something else. Watch some other Christmas special is what I would say.
Yeah. This is rough. This was rough. But we made it through as our gift to you.
Happy holidays. Happy life day, everyone.
Yeah, lovely. That's right.
What should we?
We appreciate everyone who, like, I'm trying to say something nice here about, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. I keep talking over you now.
This is, we really have reverse roles.
This is a reverse of the normal episode. This is a bonus. Okay. Well, I was just gonna say, this is a, you know, we're almost 2 years into doing the Shoujo podcast. And, you know, we're having fun and we appreciate you guys listening along to our random ass coverage of things like this. I hope that means that not only do you enjoy listening to us talking about shoujo anime, but that you come to like hearing our banter and, you know, thoughts on things. And so we appreciate everyone who's listening to this and all of our normal episodes. And once we get through the slog that, to me at least, will be My Happy Marriage season 2. Wow.
I've watched these first two episodes. I like these first two episodes.
Okay, you think so? Okay, you think, but do you think I'll like them?
I don't know. Probably not, because you're like the biggest hater ever.
I know. We'll see. But 2026, then it'll be another good year for shoujo. More series to cover, and we're happy to have you guys join us for the ride. Back to you, Joe.
What do you think we should watch next as a bonus? I was thinking, I got some ideas. I think I should have you watch some cartoons that feel like shoujo to me. I think we should watch the Netflix Shira, the Shira reboot.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. I watched a few, when that first came out, I watched maybe the first couple episodes.
Okay.
Quite like the art style.
I think we should watch, we should probably watch some like Steven Universe or something if you've never seen that.
I haven't.
We should watch some of that. That one's like a little bit, there's like a lot of kind of opening episodes to it before the actual plot happens. So, but we can kind of figure that out. What else? I don't know. Shoujo-y stuff. We could watch, I don't know. Have you watched My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, the horse one that people like?
I have not. No.
Okay. I've watched some of that. It's pretty good.
That people like. My kid sister was into that stuff.
Okay.
I like horses.
Yeah, we could do some of that.
I feel I could see myself being like, all these little ponies are little brats, and I don't like any of them.
No, they're kind of like, they're not like that. They're not little.
Are some of them are endearing?
Like, first off, most of the main cast are like adults, right? Like, they have jobs. So, and it's, I don't know. Okay. They're not like bratty in that way, because it's not, they're not kids, which I think makes a difference. Okay. We could watch, I don't know, some anime that's related but not technically shoujo or something. We'll think about it. I guess we gotta watch Camp Cretaceous at some point too. We should do that.
Oh yeah, it's
so
good.
We'll have stuff. We'll have stuff in the pipeline. We gotta figure out how to do like multiple episode season summaries or discussions, but that'll be a fun thing to prototype in the bonus episodes.
Yeah. Well. I guess if anyone has any ideas or you want to say which of those suggestions you would like to hear, you can let us know.
Maybe we can watch a good movie sometime.
Yeah, that'd be good. You know, I haven't. What about something like, well, this is, it's like animated. It was, no. Is the 2001 Space Odyssey, is that animated? Or that's just a straight up
that
light?
That is not animated.
Okay, never mind.
We can watch that. It's not shoujo.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I haven't seen it either.
I know. Okay, something on brand. Oh, you have it? Okay.
We should watch Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey for our shoujo podcast. Who are we imagining our audience is?
Maybe like something really
old. I sometimes
old.
Wonder this.
I don't know.
Like, who do we think is, like, interested in episodic, like, coverage of shoujo anime, and then is also like, ooh, all the Jurassic Park movies. Ooh, 2001's Space Odyssey. Ooh, the Star Wars Holiday Special. We really do just do whatever we want, which is great, but it's very funny to think about a person who's, like, into all of, who's, like, pumping their fist every time we suggest something.
A well-rounded individual, I think.
Yeah, I know, that's true. So true.
Well, yeah, or they're just along for the ride, and
it's good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
That's a good question.
Stay on the ride, everybody. Keep on the ride. We're gonna do more great stuff.
That's right.
Let's see. We don't have to learn anything because it's a bonus episode. I don't think I learned anything from this from the holiday special.
That like Wookiee grunts are endearing in small doses.
Mm.
too much as the main without subtitles. It's too much.
That's true. That's extremely true. Yeah. We can only handle so much Chewy.
Yeah. Freaking Mala and
Mala and Itchy and Lumpy. God.
Name characters better. Okay. Anyways. Yeah. Thanks for listening. And we hope everyone has happy holidays.
Happy Life Day,
all
everyone.
That. That's right. Yeah.
Can I get an MP3 of the Life Day song?
Oh, and insert it as our closeout? That'd be pretty good.
Oh, there is. We'll see. Oh, my God. We'll see if we're feeling like it. We just, like, it's been like a 3-hour sprint for us, so we're dead.
Yes, I am. I need a nap after that. And I woke up basically and we're good. This just wiped me out.
All right.
Yep. We'll catch you when you hear from us next.
See you around.
Main coverage, or what if someone only watches the bonus?
That would be
episodes?
A weird thing to do because we don't introduce ourselves or anything in them. But yeah, they just yeah.
All right, folks. Sorry. Let's like keep being like, let's end it, and then one of us chimes in with another thing.
That's what we do. That is like on brand for us. We do all, we save all of our bits for the end when we're stalling, leaving, but it can be the end now.
Yeah. The end.
Hold on. Can I find the Life Day lyrics and I can sing the song? Star Wars Life Day lyrics.
And then I just do the beat under the.
Okay. Hold on. Ah, come on. Where are the lyrics? I can't find the lyrics. Is there like a lyric video? Oh, here we go. Lyrics genius. A day to celebrate. Carrie Fisher. All right, go. Hit us.
Okay.
I don't know when she starts singing. We celebrate a day of peace, a day of harmony. Come on. I need those backups. If I don't have John Williams with me, there's only like 5 lyrics in this. A day of joy we all share together joyously. I don't think I'm doing the thing right. A day that takes us through the darkness, a day that leads us into might, a day that makes us want to celebrate the light, a day that brings the promise that one day we'll be free to live, to laugh, to dream, to grow, to trust, to love, to be. That's it. That's the whole thing. I could have done that. It should have been.
That was great, I am sure.
We don't need to insert the song. We got my version.
That's right. There's a lot more like she was checked out that song. I
for sure you should play
the
if you're gonna add
to
music you should
time.
Just add the main theme but like blast it super loud over me talking like it was in the special where it's just super loud for no reason. Why was it like that?
Perfect coming off of Lady Oscar where they did the exact same thing where you can't hear anyone talking.
What is with this?
It's the same year they came out. It was like 1979 or 8. It was the year of like, we don't want to hear people. Let's just play the music.
That's so true.
Okay. All right, people. That's it. We're out of here. Bye.